Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we're joined by a man who has the largest terry cloth pants collection, Dr. Pants, as we review Transformers Beast Wars Issue 6. The 1986 Transformers the movie is coming back to the cinema, and we have some news on the upcoming live-action Transformers movie. Today is Friday, August 6th, 2021, and this is episode 245 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's ready to wreck and rule again. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Hello, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
How are you? Let's talk Transformers.
We are fine.
That is good.
We Continue. Talk about robots. We are not robots ourselves, right?
Yes. Insert human response here.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show. And it's your support that keeps us going. One of the perks is of being a Donatrion is that you get access to the early episodes of Empire of Rust. So these are uncut, everything left in, nothing edited. Before the show goes live for all the regular listeners, you Donatrions get a special version early. So this week, Empire of Rust episode 56, Transform and Punch Out. And this is exclusive to our Donatrions. And this will be up on our Patreon page and the Donatrion Dropbox on Monday, August 9th. So check that out. That is the season finale of Empire of Rust. So enjoy. Everyone else, you'll have to wait just another week to get it. So on August 16th, that's when everyone will get to the season finale of Empire of Rust. As always, if you want to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can sign up. All right, let's jump right into some comics news. First up, we've got Alex Milne's next cover for the Shattered Glass series. He's been doing the variant covers for the Shattered Glass series, and they are each homaging a cover from the classic Marvel G1 Transformers comic series. So this one is this is Shattered Glass issue 3, and this is an homage to the Marvel issue 25, and that was by artist Herb Trimpe. That was the one with Megatron being surrounded by the Predacons, and it was Megatron's last stand, where he died in issue 25. He didn't really die, but at the time everyone thought he was dead. But yeah, that was a very cool cover. So now Alex Milne has recreated this with the Shattered Glass version of Starscream in the center, and he's surrounded by a bunch of evil Autobots. I see Optimus Prime there, purple Optimus Prime. I see evil Goldbug. Is that evil Trax behind him?
I think it's Ratchet on the left and then Blur on the right.
Okay.
And above is Jetfire.
Oh, is that Jetfire? Okay. It's a very cool image. Alex Milne is an excellent artist. We are big fans of his art, and seeing him take on these Shattered Glass alternate dimension covers is very cool. So this is a neat cover, and we're looking forward to seeing his work on the Shattered Glass series. I mean, I know he's not doing the interiors, but he is doing a cover for each issue.
I'm glad that this one was picked to be homaged, because 25, the original Marvel G1 25, is probably one of my favorite covers out of that whole run. Is just to see Megatron just getting his ass kicked on the cover was just, it was like an instant buy for me when I was a kid. I was like, holy shit, Megatron's getting kicked, you know, his ass kicked by his own guys. Holy crap, awesome, you know.
Yeah, and then the twist in the issue was that he did win. He beat all the Predacons single-handedly. But he went crazy, so... He won the battle, but he lost the war for sanity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, other comics news. We've also got the solicitations for October 2021. So these are the upcoming comics for October 2021. So we've got, a bunch of things. It's there's nothing like surprising. We've got the next issue of the ongoing, you know, the main Transformers comic. That is Transformers number 36. We've got the continuing Beast Wars comic. That's Transformers number 9, or Beast Wars number 9, I should say. We've got the King Grimlock miniseries that just started in August, started this month, and it's continuing. That's issue number 3 in October, and Shattered Glass, which is also starting this month and will be up to issue 3 in October, and that's the Alex Milne cover we just talked about. And then the Beast Wars trade paperback volume 1, which collects issues 1 through 6 of the Beast Wars series. And lastly is a interesting announcement. This came out of nowhere, pretty much. We didn't have any warning of this ahead of time, but this was last week. This news broke last week, but we were, we had a lot of War for Cybertron Kingdom coverage to get out, so we didn't get to circle back to this comics news. But we are getting a return of the Wreckers, and this is a brand new iteration of the Wreckers. They're getting their own miniseries, the Wreckers Tread and Circuits. It's interesting because it is a completely brand new take on the Wreckers. It's a whole new cast of characters. There are none of the the familiar Wreckers you might be aware of. These are completely a completely new version of the team, but there are some favorite characters we've got in here. So we've got I just blanked on the name.
Oh my.
Thunderclash, that's the guy. Thunderclash is the leader of the Wreckers. We've got Hotshot, who has, of course, made his debut in Transformers Armada. And then I think this version is more the, is it the Cybertron or the Energon version of Hotshot?
It's the Cybertron.
Cybertron, okay. And we've got Ricochet, who's a repaint of Jazz. We've got Minerva, who is, was the Japanese original creation that Nightbeat was based. The Nightbeat mold was basically a repaint of. We've got Circuit, who is usually cast as a Cybertronian journalist. And then we've got Aileron, who was an original creation of the previous IDW Transformers continuity. So, basically, it's a completely new cast. The Wreckers are also, these are not the like Wreckers that are super violent, cracked commando team. They're more of like a spy team, like a team that their cover story is that they're basically circus performers, but they go on spy missions, and that's their cover. So this is it's just completely different. So I'm curious as to see what this series is about, and taking the name Wreckers and going in a completely different direction. And Tread and Circuits, so I guess bread and circus, that's the the reference to the Roman times when the empire was crumbling. So yeah, it's just a really interesting new take on the Wreckers. It's being written by David Marriott, so the editor on the Transformers books currently. He's writing this series himself, and then the art is by Jack Lawrence, who's a longtime Transformers artist. And we're getting also covers from Animal Cova and Nick Roche, so that's cool as well. This is just a really out of left field announcement, so I'm curious as to where this is coming from, but
I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen with this, because for Transformers fans, the name Wreckers holds a very distinct you know, set of characters or character traits anyways, you know, it's, this is, I don't know if saying like this name is providing very large shoes to fill, but I don't know, like IDW can produce some really fun and really entertaining books, but putting the name Wreckers on a comic for Transformers, I really don't want to see a fun and kind of buddy kind of goofy book. You know, this, I'd much rather this be a you know, a much more serious book. You know, I don't know. I'd almost rather they called it something else. If, you know, if it's going to be something about like circus and I'm interested in the spy missions and stuff, like that's cool. But the name Wreckers, that's something that's for, it's like, I don't know, what could you attribute it to?
It's a grittier name.
It's like X-Force.
It is.
But we don't know that that's not where this is going to end
up. We don't. We don't know that, right? So
they're very happy on the cover of issue one.
Yes.
It might be just a misdirection.
Oh, and I did forget to mention the colorist. So Candace Hahn is the colorist on the book as well, with Jack Lawrence on art and David Marriott on writing. Yeah. Just
and she did the Back to the Futures crossover, and yes, that was good. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going in with no expectations because it's such a different take, and I'm just going to be along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
I love the new emblem, by the way, that it's kind of its own. It looks almost like an Autobot emblem, but not. And it's got the hammers like crossed underneath of it, but I'm not going
to. It looks also like a sword. Like, look at, crap. Now I'm blanking on the name.
Thunderclash.
Yeah, Thunderclash. His is a little different, like, because he's the leader.
Yeah. But also at the same time, seeing that cross beneath the Wrecker symbol, and then, like, we get this image of Ricochet riding Hotshot down through the air. The only thing I can hear is, "Hi, I'm Ricochet. Welcome to Jackass." And that's what... And I'm kind of hoping that we get some stuff like that. But... this is really cool. Actually, the thing I'm most excited about is we get Minerva. Like, Minerva's going to be in this, and that's awesome. Because it's like this Japanese character who, I don't think she was really in the last IDW continuity at all.
I don't think she's had any North American, you know, continuity.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think this might be the first time. So this is really cool. And we have a Ricochet figure from Generation Selects. We have a Hotshot figure from Generation Selects. Give me a Minerva figure. I want that now. So give me that. And a Thunderclash. So maybe maybe we'll get something because of this.
Where do you see this going, Charles?
I really don't know. I mean, I think, you know, this is... we had the Last Stand of the Wreckers kind of, you know, that was... Now that was, what, over 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. That was trilogy. Also a, yeah, that's right. It did. We had Last Stand of the Wreckers, then Sins of the Wreckers, and then Requiem of the Wreckers. And we did, that did bring in, you know, kind of a whole new generation of Wreckers. You know, it did still have those connection points with Springer and Impactor being, you know, links to the previous iterations of the Wreckers. But it did. It was largely a whole new cast of characters that all died at the, you know, or mostly died at the end. So I mean, I don't need the Wreckers to be completely, you know, dark and grim. I'm curious to see what the story is going to be. I would still be happy if all the characters managed to make it out alive, or I'm still interested to see what the idea is, what the motivation is behind completely transforming the Wreckers into this new version and new, you know, even like taking this and not making them like a commando unit and really turning it around. So, you know, I'm definitely open to seeing how this develops, but I'm curious, but I think the art looks good. I think Jack Lawrence is a good pick for this book here. Like he's been doing a lot of work on the kind of what like crossover series like My Little Pony, Star Trek, in the last couple of years. So getting him back
on Sonic Comics.
Yeah, and he did the art on the Valentine's Day special. Was that 2020? I guess. So having him come back and do a miniseries, I think, is cool. And all these characters being thrown together, I'm interested to see what their personalities will be in this new IDW. This is the new IDW continuities, I assume. So, I'm curious. That's my main emotion when I heard about this, and interested.
I'm not sure if it's in the main continuity or not.
I
can't imagine why it wouldn't be.
I don't
be.
Know. I'm assuming that until they make an indication otherwise, but we'll see.
I think it was this that I asked about on Twitter and got a response from David Marriott, but I can't find that right now. So yes, assume it is until we have to issue a correction.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that's all our comics news. So we will move on to the comic review.
All right, we are looking at Beast Wars number 6 today. This is written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham, letters by Jake M. Wood. Editor is David Marriott. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. Supervising editor is Tom Waltz. We got three covers. The first one is by Josh Burcham. It looks like the Beast Wars have begun. It just is depicting an all-out battle between the Maximals and the Predacons. Cover B... he's just showing Nyx and Skuld, the two newcomers to the Beast Wars series. And this is by Dan Schoening and Luis Antonio Delgado. And the retailer incentive is showing the Maximals ready for battle. This is by Nick Roach and Jean-Paul Beauvais. So, Daryl, we'll start with you since you kind of said on Trips to the Store this week which one you liked. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, I mean, I bought two of them. I bought cover A and I bought the RI cover. And I'm going to go with the RI cover on this one just because it's a nice looking cover. It's got all of the characters on the Maximal side here, all seven of them depicted in their beast modes and in their robot modes in the background. There's some dynamic motion shown in the backgrounds for their robot modes. And then they just look, they're ready in their beast modes on the foreground. So it's just a really, really awesome looking cover, really bright. And I like that. It's a really great cover from Nick.
Dr. Pants. Which one of these is your favorite?
Of the three, my favorite's got to be that RI cover. It looks so good. All these characters are done so well. But I'm going to nitpick one thing. Why is Air Razor on the cover? She is not in the comic yet.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was for symmetry.
You know what? You're probably right. Just to get Optimus Primal there in the center, they added in her. And that's fine. I mean... she's in Kingdom. She's a character that we talk about right now, and she has a figure out right now.
She has a toy.
She has a toy. So, but no, that cover is absolutely beautiful. And if my comic shop could get RI covers for this, I would pick it up in a heartbeat.
Cool, Charles. Are you gonna continue the trend?
Yes, I am. That retailer incentive cover is awesome, and I will also continue the trend of nitpicking why Airazor is on the cover. So. Yeah, I totally agree with Dr. Pants there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fine for the symmetry and the artistic license. That's cool. And yeah, I like Air Razor. She's great. But yeah, she's not in the comic yet. So get her protoform formatted and get her in there soon.
Well, we know that new characters are going to start coming in the next issue.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great cover. It's awesome. I especially like Dinobot's beast mode, his pose there.
Yeah. And I will make it a clean sweep. That RI cover is just great. The cover A is also really good. Nothing taking away from that, but I just, yeah, the, what everyone said about this, the kind of dynamic poses and everything, I like it a lot.
I have no problem that Air Razor's on the cover.
So you should take that over me and Charles as well, because you know you are the number one Beast Wars fan.
I am. Podcast. Well, we're in the comics now, so I mean, this is your zone.
I die a little inside every time we say it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get on with the summary here. The title is Savage Landing Part 6. This is the final issue of the first arc. Inside the Axelon, Rat Trap is being hunted by Tarantulas until the Spider sees the Maximals Tech Lab. He detours to find out what he can before blowing up the ship. And he finds out about the protoforms that are orbiting the planet and looks forward to using them to create his own army and overthrow Megatron. As Rat Trap looks on from inside an air vent, he thinks of a plan that he can use to stop Tarantulas using his scrounging skills. Outside, Dinobot has disarmed Waspinator, literally, while Cheetor is struggling against Scorponok. Pterosaur looks on from above and sees Dinobot as easy prey when he's ambushed by Nyx, who's looking for a little revenge. Megatron has Primal in the jaws of his T-Rex hand as he delivers a monologue. Optimus is hurt enough, though, and he smashes himself free. Megatron still has the advantage and prepares to blast Primal when Nyx throws Pterosaur from above into the blast. Inside the ship, Tarantulas is getting frustrated at his inability to hack into the Axelon's computer. From behind, Rattrap quips that maybe he's just too dumb to figure it out. Tarantulas turns around to see Rattrap inside a heavy loader exosuit, and now with a Sidus advantage, Rattrap uses the loader to throw the Predacon outside through the window of the ship. Rattrap then rushes to get the ship's defenses back online, and he contacts the Maximals. The shields are now up, and the Maximals can pass through. However, Dinobot can't, and he's stuck outside to face off with the Predacons alone. He prepares to attack Megatron, but he doesn't see Tarantulas behind him and gets stabbed through the back. The Preds begin to beat down on Dinobot as the Maximals look on in shock, and Primal contacts the ship's computer and orders a plasma cannon barrage. This drives the Predacons away, and the Maximals are able to get Dinobot into the ship and inside a CR chamber to repair. Several days later, Rhinox and Optimus are sparring again while they discuss Dinobot's chances. Optimus isn't sure how much the CR chamber can do, and he doesn't know if his spark will survive. But as he says this, Dinobot hobbles in, assisted by a cane. He's still damaged, and he doesn't think he'll be able to fight anymore, so he's come to say thanks and goodbye. Optimus disagrees that he's no longer useful. He reminds Dinobot of the history behind the Dinobot name. He welcomes Dinobot to stay, and he tells him that after he's rested, the Maximals need to know all that he can tell them about Megatron. That's the end of the story. And it says, next issue, Black Arachnia. So, looking forward to that. I thought this was a really good issue, really good kind of ending to the arc. Lots of action at the beginning. I really liked the sneaking around and kind of how they're portraying Rat Trap as like not a fighter. He's more like sneaking around and using his brain rather than trying to just fight Tarantulas, you know, one-on-one. I'm imagining Tarantulas is going to use what he learned in this issue to, you know, get a protoform and make Black Arachnia. That's going to be really fun. Tarantulas is always creepy, even in this. I think the fight was choreographed really well. I mean, you had a good sense of the spacing of where everyone was on the battlefield. And I thought that was really cool. I liked Waspinator losing his arm, you know, as typical in the show. I thought that was cool how they brought that into it. So this was a fun issue, and I'm glad the series is continuing on. So, Dr. Pants, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the book?
Absolutely love it. Number one, I am thrilled that almost every month for the past 3 months I've been on here, you guys are reviewing a Beast Wars issue. So I'm like in my element because I love Beast Wars. And this comic is just, this is what I want for them to bring it back. They've done a really good job here, I feel. These first six issues, they did a really good job of telling like the first two episodes, but in a different way. And they're giving some great characterization of these characters that we got in the Beast Wars cartoon, but in a different way. Like, Dinobot's arc over these six issues has been fantastic and really sets him up for what he would become in the cartoon. So I'm really happy to see this. I loved his whole arc. I love the Rat Trap Tarantula story because I love Tarantulas. One of my favorite characters from the show. Creepy, mad scientist, and just would do anything to reach his goals. And then Rat Trap pulls out this, like, alien-style, like, mech loader. That thing was crazy, and I just love him throwing him out the window. Absolutely great. The fight looked good. I love everything that's going on here. I can't stress it enough. The art is great. The characters are great. This is going places that I can't wait to see where it goes from here. That full page or almost full page shot of Dinobot getting stabbed through the chest by Tarantulas, that is a beautiful shot. Again, the artwork looks amazing. It fits this series so, so well. One thing I do want to point out, and I don't know if Josh Bertram listens to the show or not, but I hope he does, and I really, really hope at some point that he does a full-page print of that Grimlock, like, flashback of him with his sword impaled in Snapdragon. That shot is amazing, and I love it. It looks so good. It looks, like, Grimlock looks amazing. I love the Autobot symbol on the sword. And that whole scene anyway, when Optimus Primal kind of like gives this kind of like retcon into the Dinobot name, like it's so good and it fits everything so well. I am in love with this book and I can't wait to read more. So I hope next month when I'm on again, you guys are reviewing the next issue because I want to talk about it more. I want to gush more.
Cool. Yeah. And I'm thinking of this as kind of like an Ultimate Universe Beast Wars where, you know, things have slightly changed, like the Ultimate Universe of Marvel.
But it's still familiar enough that you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Daryl, Mr. Number One Beast War fan, what do you think of this book?
I enjoyed the action, actually. It was a good fight scene. I enjoyed what's his nuts getting thrown into the way of the blast from Whositz.
Tarantulas getting thrown.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Pterosaur. The
Pterosaur. That's right. Pterosaur getting thrown into the way of the blast from, Megatron. Right.
Yes.
And for a minute there, I thought, oh my God, they're going to kill Dinobot right away. And I thought, yeah, that's going to be kind of good. Nobody will be talking about how awesome Dinobot is anymore in the comic. And then he lived. And that was a shame. But
wow. How dare you? How dare you, sir?
You can say
number one Beast Wars fan over here. Number one Beast Wars fan.
I got to say, though, and Jeremy was talking about at the beginning, is there a precedent for this in the cartoon, but when Rat Trap goes scrounging for something to do to deal with Tarantulas and finds a giant mech suit, would you not have known that's around? Like, I mean, if you're going to scrounge something up, I mean, you're looking for something little that, you know, you kind of think you might be able to use, not something that's enormous and is easily, you know, you can easily find anywhere because it's fucking huge. I found that kind of, you know, ridiculous. Whatever. I guess we're just throwing out all the rules here, I guess, but whatever. It's kind of fun. All in all, I thought the book was a fun, quick read. The story's progressing pretty quick, and I had no issues with this book, other than that I was kind of hoping Dinobot was dead. But I'm fine with it. Because every time we talk about all we get are all I hear is how awesome a character Dinobot is. He's so great.
Because
he's
if you had watched this show, you would know. You are killing me, Daryl. I am dying.
if he was gone, everyone else would have their time to shine. And what a great opportunity to just turn the whole freaking thing on its head by killing this character. Yeah, I'm right.
No,
Daryl
no,
does
wrong.
Not necessarily represent the views of the Transmissions podcast
or the Transformers fandom. I think you stand alone there.
I just think he's overrated is all.
If you watch the show,
guy
he's perfectly rated.
In a cartoon, and everyone thinks he's
go watch Chris McFeely's The Basics on Dinobot.
I don't want
out last week.
Okay,
I don't want to watch that.
How many issues do we have to review before we strap Daryl to a chair and clockwork orange him into watching Beast Wars?
Oh, it's going to be prerequisite before we get to the new live action movie.
Good.
All right. Well, let's. Watch that bad taste out of our mouths. And Charles, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was excellent. This was, you know, perfectly crafted issue. The right mix of action, storytelling, all the, as you mentioned, Jeremy, the choreography of all the fights was awesome. Josh Burcham's art is great. It perfectly suited to this book. Eric Burnham's storyline was great. It leads right into the next story arc with the protoforms and everything, the maximal protoforms. So having Tarantulas discover that, and then, you know, that'll lead into how Black Arachnia gets created. I really appreciated all the little hints and nods and references. Rat Trap's mech suit, of course, is from Alien, so that was cool. I was expecting him to say, "Get away from her, you glitch," or something like that, but, you know, that probably couldn't get worked in there. Having Nyx get her revenge on Pterosaur, I thought was a nice little touch there. At the end, I liked Optimus Primal calling Megatron a wannabe Decepticon. I thought that was a nice little touch there. And then, yeah, of course, giving the flashback about where the Dinobots come from. That was, that was a nice touch, because that's never really explicit. That reference is never explicit in the Beast Wars cartoon back in the day. So it's nice to have it directly tied in here.
Yeah. And it does kind of would make sense that by their time, it would be more of kind of a legend.
Mm hmm.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but in this comic, they had all those names before they left Cybertron, whereas in the cartoon, they kind of gave themselves new names when they got to Earth, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, that was the... In the cartoon, it was they never, like, name-checked themselves until they landed on the planet.
And
it was unclear.
Because I was going to say, I remember distinctly, like, he like, Cheetor says, "Call me Cheetor." Like, he says, like, "That's what you're going to call me now."
Yeah.
But the comic, they established all the names before they even left.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, this was great. Good job. I'm kind of sad to see Josh Burcham leaving the book, but of course that makes way for Winston Chan, which I am very happy to see Winston Chan getting interiors on a book. But yeah, come back sometime, Josh, too.
Yeah.
And make that Grimlock print. I'll buy it right now. I'll send you the money. Just give me it.
Should see if he still has the page for sale.
Ooh, this is true. This is true.
All right. Well, that will do it for our review of Beast Wars number 6. So it's on to media news.
All right. In media news this week, we got a couple things to talk about. First up, in games, we are talking about the new mobile game, and it is called Top War and Transformers. It's a collaboration event, and I've never heard of this game, Top War. It's a battle game, I guess, or Top War battle game. That's the name of the game. Never heard of this. Has anybody heard of this before?
No.
Okay.
It's a free-to-play. It's a free-to-play Chinese game developed by River Game, a Chinese company. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, apparently they've collabed with Transformers, and you can get Transformer characters in the game, including Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Blaster, Megatron, Starscream, and Soundwave. So that's fun. I don't know what you'd need to do to get them, whether they're in the game during the specific event or something. But if you play, let us know. How, you know, is it the graphics look cool? I'm assuming these are some kind of cinematics that we're looking at during this video. There is a something to watch if you want to check it out. But, you know, it looks kind of neat. But, yeah, I'm really not interested in this. So, anyway, on to the other part of the media news, and that is movie stuff. So, once again, seems like it was just yesterday, we had the Transformers 86 movie in theaters. They brought it back, I think it was for the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, so, it was 5 years ago. It was not just yesterday. It was 5 years ago.
It seems like it. The years are just flying by. So it is now the 35th anniversary, and the movie is coming back to the U.S. only, though. So this is a kind of kick in the teeth because we weren't able to see it here last time. And, yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass. I'd really like to take my daughter to see the Transformers.
The border will
movie.
Be open, Daryl, by then. Road trip?
To watch a movie? I don't know. But, yeah, so if you're in one of the cities lucky enough to get be able to get tickets to see this, it's through the same company that did it last time. I should open this story to look at it.
Fathom Events.
That's right. So, and it's going to be on Fan First Friday, August the 13th. So Friday the 13th day at 11 a.m. So that's when they're going to
Look. More info. Oh, yeah,
sorry. Yes. I'm reading this as I talk about it. Always a good decision, folks. So be sure to tune in to that Fan First Friday to hear about more information on this. But it looks like it's going to be between on Sunday, September 26th through to Tuesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. local time is when they're going to looks like they're going to show these movies.
August 13th is also a very important day, Daryl. Do you know?
Is it some kind of thing with your wife? I don't know this.
Oh, come on.
Is it our anniversary, Charles?
Yes, Daryl.
Awesome.
Did you get me something?
You'll have to wait and see.
It's also the day Suicide Squad comes out, right?
No, that's a week early.
Yeah.
It's a week earlier? Oh, never mind. Wow. All right.
That the Suicide Squad is out today when this episode goes up.
Oh, my God. I don't know what day it is. I'm sorry.
Time is weird here in the podcast realm. If you're able to go see this movie, I you know, highly recommend being able to see it in the theater. It's, yes, you probably have seen it 100 times. You can probably, you know, say every single line like I can, like everybody else can. But seeing it on the big screen, it's just one of those things that you can't recreate that in your house unless you're Charles.
I really wanted to take my kid to see it because he, like, I have purposely not told him any of the plot points as we work through G1.
Oh,
and we're going to be like just returning from being out of town. So we'll miss it because we'll be out of town and then we'll can't make the Tuesday one either.
Oh,
and I want him to have the same traumatic experience that I had.
Well, Charles is just going to have to bring you over to his place and,
mm-hmm.
you could show your kid there, traumatize him in Charles' house.
I can just make do with, you know, my pitiful 50-inch TV as opposed to the giant one Charles has.
Charles's TV takes up two rooms.
It's 75 inches. It's not that big. It's not IMAX.
7,500 inches. My God. Moving on. Producer extraordinaire Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, he has sat down and talked about the Transformers movie franchise a little bit. And who knows if this is, you know, what's going to happen. It's just, he likes to just chat. And he answered a couple questions here. And I didn't even read this because he doesn't know what he's talking about. So did anyone read this? I didn't read this because he's a fool.
I mean, it's, I didn't read it, but it's, yeah, no, I didn't read it.
He said that the Bumblebee movie didn't get the marketing it had a horrible marketing campaign, but because of that, the movie's really loved and it re-engaged the audience. And I'm like, it was a good movie. That's why it was loved.
Right.
And I thought it had a pretty big marketing campaign, but he said it was a soft one.
Yeah.
And then
it didn't do well because of Transformers The Last Night, and everyone was
right.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
and also if you remember,
that was such a horrible
Bumblebee
dog shit of a movie.
Was released in December. It was not a really great release date for that movie.
Yeah. And it was competing with Into the Spider-Verse and Aquaman, which
was horribly placed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they ask him about Rise of the Beast. How will that continue the thinking from Bumblebee? And he says that he's like, the first Transformers movie and the Bumblebee movie both got into that sense of wonder and that first connection between man and machine. So we're hoping to replicate in many ways what we did in Transformers 1. Which was an emotion-driven story with big, wild experience. And Bumblebee reminded them of their roots, in a sense.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
Oh, Lorenzo.
Why man and machine? Just make it machines. I just want machines. I love robots.
Oh. And
play the clip. Oh. I'm not plugged in. Hold on.
Oh, Nero, it's gone. Move on. It's gone.
The moment is gone.
And yeah, just as we were discussing with Bumblebee and its amazing placement, Transformers Rise of the Beast release date has been moved. I do not recall when it was, but I believe it was a summer release date.
It was a July.
It was July, yes. Summer. Middle of summer. They have moved it to December 2022. Fantastic. So, oh well. It was a good run.
Like there is going to be a big Marvel movie or something around that time, I'm sure.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. But I guess they're afraid to compete with Marvel or DC or something.
Anybody.
Yeah. They'll compete with Christmas, though. Anywho, like we were just talking about, the Bumblebee movie was also released in December and it did okay. So,
I mean, I think it's more if there's competition. So we'll see what else gets put on the slate for December of 2022. If there's no other big franchise movie at the same time, it could be fine.
Oh, hold on. I just Googled it and coming out December 2022 is Avatar 2.
Oh,
and,
never
and
mind.
Get this, Aquaman the Lost Kingdom.
Oh. God. Okay, so
Mother.
Does anybody even remember are there people around that still remember the first Avatar movie? Like, it's...
I've never seen it.
It had blue people, and it was basically Dances with Wolves.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I have yet to see it.
So I'm just looking.
I mean, it was a fine movie. I mean, it was, yeah, it's been what, 12 years now, or
right.
It'll be 13 years when this comes out. I mean, it was
riding the 3D hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The 3D was really good. I mean, I will say the 3D was excellent,
but it doesn't warrant them making 4 sequels. I think they have planned.
I mean, it definitely doesn't warrant them waiting 13 years. If you wanted to make a sequel, you should have made a sequel. Why are you waiting 13 years?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to finally seeing it and seeing the flying buffalo.
As far as Marvel's side goes for December, I'm just looking at my trusty little graph that I made or spreadsheet, and it's only TV. There's 3 TV things that are scheduled for December for Marvel. the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. So far it's just, and that's the only thing that's definite for late 2022. And then there's She-Hulk and Moon Knight that are sometime in 2022. Anyway, we'll see. They're definitely moving it again, and that's a pain, but whatever. Anyway, that's it for media news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right, so starting off, we have a couple TF Nation announcements. And this first one, I'm guessing Daryl wrote in our notes, who? So TF Nation is welcoming Word Burglar to the big broadcast of 2021. Word Burglar is a musician and rapper, and we've talked about him on the show before because he put out a Transformer-themed album, I think, last year, the year before, and I'm going to play you a clip.
Straight out of Icon, I've been scribing on Cybertron since before the primes first turned their high beams on. Ride along with the pride of Ironhide, I'll be kind, recording everything like rewind. I am the...
So that's just a little bit of Cybertronosaur.
I remember you playing that on the show. Holy crap.
I have a link in the notes here to his album Space Verse, which has that. It has a track called That Metroplex Life that features Hot Rod of the Cybertronic Spree, a bunch of others. It's a really good album. So can't wait to hear him on TF Nation on the big broadcast. And Daryl, you should check it out. I'm sure you're up for the hip beats.
Just move on.
All right. So next, they have also announced that Marty Eisenberg will be on the big broadcast. He worked on Beast Machines as story editor. And also, you might remember him more for Transformers Animated, where he was also story editor. And, you know, he's done a lot of other animated shows, you know, Batman Animated Series, Spider-Man, Ben 10, Gargoyles. So I'm sure he's got a lot of good stories, but he's done so much on animated. He, I think, worked on the Animated Almanacs too. I'm not sure exactly, but he's been to many BotCons and TFCons. So be sure to check him out. And then over on this side, there's some sad news from TFCon Baltimore. David Kaye had to drop out. He's not going to be able to attend, but they did announce that Gary Chalk will be attending TFCon Baltimore. Voice of Optimus Primal, and you know, he's always a great guest. He's gonna have Q&A panels, autograph sessions. I'm sure at the bar over the weekend you will see him, and you might see him with a guitar. I don't know, sometimes he has it, and he's a great guy to have at the show. So be sure to check that out, October 22nd through 24th. I believe that is it for convention news this week.
All right. And we will finish up the show with feedback. All right. So we got a little bit of feedback from our Alt Mode special episode, which was our War for Cybertron Kingdom spoiler review. So this was from our YouTube video where this was... with our special guest, Ant, from TFU.info. And we went over all the things we liked and didn't like about War for Cybertron Kingdom. So this comment comes from Marion. And they say, first time finding your channel, let me say, great stuff. To this day, I absolutely still love Beast Wars, Transformers, and man, what I wouldn't give to have a seal on... what I wouldn't give to have a seat on this panel. That said, I'm curious what you fellas feel about the Bayverse Transformers movies. I am not a fan. Admittedly, Beast Wars is my favorite, then Prime. But I would be remiss if I didn't give a nod to Armada, the show that I feel is responsible for all of the resurgence of Transformers goodness. Well, you are definitely going to find company in not being a fan of the Bayverse Transformers. So that's, I think we have all discussed our issues with the live action movies. you know, than Michael Bay's particular style of, you know, I'll just say I would have preferred more emphasis on the story and the robots. and that's, you know, that's my main problem with all the Bayverse movies. But yeah, I mean, we agree on that point. We also enjoyed Transformers Prime, I think. I think all of us have watched those shows. Armada, I was not a big fan of, just because I felt like the minicons didn't really get any personality. Like, you know, they were all little, it reminded me more of Pokemon, where they didn't, the minicons didn't even really talk. They only had those beeps and boops, which was, you know, frustrating for me. But I mean, Armada, the toy, I think the toy line was, you know, really good. And the minicon play pattern was really well done. So, you know, that was a great toy line for, you know, bringing Transformers into the 21st century. I just didn't like the cartoon. And I think the comic was actually good too. The comic was written by Simon Furman, so that was
a lot fun. Of people like the comic a lot more than the cartoon.
Yeah. So yeah. So thank you, Marion, for your comment. I hope you will continue to watch and listen to Transmission stuff. All right. Now, does that take us to the end of the show? All right. And with that, we will wrap up this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, we end the show. We end every show by giving a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrons, because these are the folks that contribute to our Donatron at the highest level, and we really appreciate them, so we want to give them a shout out in every episode. So thank you again to John4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, and DemonTech82. You guys are the best. And if you want to buy some merchandise from our TeePublic store, that's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. That's another way to help out the show. We've got lots of shirts, masks, and other merchandise. And if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that helps us out. And this week, there is a sale, a site-wide sale from TeePublic, where everything is 35% off, and that will continue until August 8th. So you've got the whole weekend to decide if you want something, and you can get it for much cheaper than normal. So might want to consider that and to help out Transmissions while you're at it. So, Dr. Pants, thank you again for guest hosting this week, and why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
Gladly, and it was a thrill to be here. I always love it. You can find me and my friends doing the Nerdstradamus thing at nerdstradamus.com, or you can find us doing most of our stuff at the Nerdstradamus YouTube channel. There is a link on the website, but most of our stuff does come through YouTube. We do a lot of video game stuff, some robot stuff, music videos, things like that. We're on all the social media. You can check us out there. And if you want to check us out, it's a good week. An episode went up this week that is me talking about robots for about 30 minutes. Some Transformers and some other random things. And yeah, you get to watch what happened with that. Spoilers, it's disturbing. But yeah, that's it. Thanks again, guys, for having me. Always love it.
Thanks for coming on. All right, everyone. That's it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Well, I heard Charles say, let's synchronize. And then he was quiet for like 10 straight seconds. I'm like, did he say it? And I missed it. What happened?
What's our time?
All right. And that takes us to the end of the show. Oh, wait, never mind.